Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. It's good to see you all out here in this frosty morning. The first thing I have to announce is that the hymn which I have before prayers after scripture is not number 287. It is number 767. And I don't know where 287 came from. I don't even know that song, so I don't know how that one got in there. Second announcement we have is our altar flowers this morning are from B. Bothroyd in memory of her mom and dad, Hilda and Jack Quintana, on their wedding anniversary. Her dad made the little white crosses up there for the whole family, and that's her cross there. Beautiful flowers this morning. Mine are all frosty and dying. They need a lot of water, those flowers, they do. Chug today. Would you like to make an announcement? Do you want the...
I'll talk loud.
You'll wing it, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Outstanding. Well, see if we can get them to come here 1 week. Would be really cool. We've done that before. That's outstanding. Next week, I want to remind everyone that we have a worship service with communion, and we have a baptism. So it'll be a big service. We have a diaconate meeting next week also, and we have a trustees meeting next week. Just to give everyone the heads up, we're going to be a busy church. I welcome everyone on All Saints Sunday. It's a great time to remember that you left your pictures home. that's what everybody says. The ditty bags for missions are due today. Absolutely. There you go.
So... Ruth. They are due back today. However, if you forgot your stuff, we are not packing them until Wednesday, so you have a couple extra days to bring it in. And if you didn't shop, but you would like to give a cash donation, you could give it to either me or Martha, and we will pick up some stuff before Wednesday. And if you're available and you want to come help us pack, we're meeting in the Potter's House at 10 a.m. You're welcome to join us. It shouldn't take more than a half an hour, 45 minutes probably. Thanks.
Okay, that's great. Does anyone have anything else they would like to add to? To you? No, I don't know. I think you need this.
We're just getting it's that time of year. It's November, so cookies for the cookie walk. So please get your recipes out and bake them. You can freeze them. There's room in the freezer downstairs. I did bring some supplies, so there is flour, sugar, butter, eggs downstairs, but if people want me to get more supplies so then they can bake at home, I'm more than happy to get stuff to help because I appreciate everybody helping. And I just had good news from Brenda. One of her friends even offered to bake because she thought it was such a good thing. So
good.
No, and Crafty Fridays, and we're going to be baking on Friday nights too. So if you don't like to do crafts, if you like to bake, come on down. We're making cookies this Friday, so it'll be a busy place, but do they meet the group downstairs the first Friday?
What group is that?
Dave's group.
Dave.
Third Friday.
So we're good. You're good. Okay. Yeah. So we can use the ovens. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was going to do a cookie without ovens if we had to. Okay. Okay. So we're all set then.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything they would like to share this morning? Well, I'd like to mention two more things, the preludes. Our musicians up here would like you to appreciate their prelude and be quiet
and sing
along. So now we are putting their song with the words in the bulletin so that you can follow along and sing and be part of it and not talking. Which is a good thing. And the last thing I have is the Christmas. Did we mention them? No, the Christmas boxes. Who's in charge of that? Anyone here? Operation Christmas. Christmas child boxes? Okay, well, we have about 15 days to fill them all up and make them all disappear. So keep that in mind. I'm not kidding. Okay, let us all stand now for our introit, number 577.
Join me in the call to worship. We will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on our lips. Our soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let us shout and sing together for joy. Praise be to God. Amen. Join me. Awesome God, you created all things, and it is by your power and wisdom that everything holds together. Things that we can see and things that are too big or too small for us to see. It is by your plan that we are here today, in this time, in this place, and with these people. Truly, your ways are beyond our ways, and your thoughts are above our thoughts. We can glimpse a little bit of who you are, and we are thankful that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us through your word and through your church. Throughout our lives, you have been working to draw us close to you. We thank you for your faithfulness to all those people in our lives who have loved and served you before we came along. Because of their witness and because of your Son, we come today to worship you and to give you the honor you deserve. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our first scripture lesson is from Jeremiah 31 to 34. And that is on page 642. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And our New Testament lesson is from the book of Ephesians. And that is the first chapter, verses 11 through 23, page 949. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward the redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominate and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. lift our prayers before God. So would you please bow in prayer with me? Father God, we come here this morning to worship, to praise you, to lift you up, Father. We only give you an hour a week, Father. Help us to give more. Help us to share more. Help us to pray more, Father. Help us to take your will and your word a little more seriously, Father. Today we come on All Saints Day to remember all of those from the past, all those who have passed on. We remember Robert Morton, Jane Wooden, and Herb LaPlante. Father God, we all have people in our lives who have touched us here, who have meant the world to us, people with joy that we would just love to see and talk to when they're in heaven, Father. And Lord, we lift them up to you now. We lift their families up to you. Father God, we lift up the pictures up here before you, the memories that we cherish and we hold on to. And we do leave those that we've left at home, Father, before you. Father God, we lift up those who are struggling with the cold to get heating oil. We lift up those in our family who are searching for work. Work is getting tough. Father God, we do have family who are serving in our military, and we lift them up for your hand of protection over them. And we lift up those who are not with us today. We have missionaries, Lord. We have Michael Anticoli and his family in Africa, and we have Kathy and Jay doing mission work. We lift them up to you, Father, for safe travel, safety while they're there. Guide and protect them. The world around them is not always the best. And I open it up now for anyone who has a prayer, a joy, a concern to share. Once a month, we pray, Father, to you, communion, during communion. Father, we lift up the saints in heaven, that we are connected, that they are there. And Father God, we pray that we put when we think of people for All Saints Sunday, when we think of them, we don't think of sadness. We don't mourn. We look at them with joy for where they are and where we will one day be. Father God, let us keep that smile on our face as we go through this day. In your name we pray, Father. Amen. I like to move things around sometimes when we're putting the bulletin together. But then sometimes when you go to do it, you're confused about which way to go. It's a good thought. It's like when we try new songs. It's good to try new songs, but sometimes words are good. But it's also good to find a gem every once in a while that you forget and you say, why haven't we done that song in a while? Disciples affirm resurrection hope. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is central Christian faith, and nothing can match its significance. When Jesus rose from the dead, he proved that he was exactly who he claimed to be, and he had accomplished what he had come to accomplish. Jesus made full payment for sin on the cross, and his resurrection is the receipt that full payment has been made. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. It is only our only hope of eternal salvation. and our only hope of being with God in glory forever. Christ's victory over death is also our victory. And because he lives and our resurrected Lord, we also are living the resurrected life. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. This is a message that the Apostle Paul sends in his letter to the Ephesians. The city of Ephesus was one of the biggest, and it was one of the most important cities in the ancient Mediterranean world. It's one of the oldest Greek settlements on the Aegean Sea, standing on the west coast of Asia Minor in what is modern-day Turkey. Paul traveled to Ephesus early in his ministry to reinforce the church to where it became one of the strongest churches in Asia Minor. But Paul now finds a continued resistance building as the church is fading away from sound biblical teaching, becoming hounded by false teachers, interested in endless myths and genealogies. The fact that Paul was an apostle is itself an amazing story. He was one of the most zealous persecutors of believers in the early church, but a divine encounter with Jesus transformed him. After his divine appointment with Jesus, he became a zealous missionary. And Paul, he is now in prison. He writes this impassioned letter to encourage the Ephesian church Christians, and he's trying to energize them and their faith. Paul starts his letter, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Whenever Paul introduces himself in this way, it's a reminder of Jesus' life-changing power. Beyond this, it is a statement of Paul's credentials. Paul's credentials as an apostle are an important reminder that his letter has the authority from God. He's relaying his message, and he's giving commands to the church. In a gentle way, Paul is saying, "You had better listen to what I'm saying." In Revelations, we find Jesus reprimanding seven churches found around in Asia Minor. John lists them in order of which a messenger traveling on the road would find them, starting with the chief city of Ephesus and circling clockwise. I think I got that backwards, that's right. In most cases, Christ is critical of these churches, but his comments to the church of Ephesus are the least critical of all of them. There is hope there. He commends their toil and perseverance, their intolerance to evil men, their endurance, and not growing weary. However, Jesus also rebukes them because they have left their first love. This probably means that they have emphasized toil, perseverance, and intolerance of evil to a point where they have forgotten to love Christ and to love one another. And Paul now finds himself preaching from afar to a church he loves and helped develop, yet is now struggling. Bible reference states that the primary purpose of Paul's writing to the Ephesians is to encourage the Ephesian believers to build up the perfect body of Christ through the exercise of their Christ-given talents and gifts, until every believer attains Christ-like perfection. Well, how does he do that? Well, he does this through encouragement. Encouragement to look ahead. Encouragement to keep their faith. And the encouragement to keep their beliefs as the Romans' protection is beginning to fade around them and the outside pagan cults are gaining strength. Encouragement is reminding them of Christ's sacrifice fulfilled, that Christ fulfilled his purpose and confirms God's offer of forgiveness and salvation to every recipient sinner who puts his faith in Christ, as he was delivered up because of our offenses and he was raised because of our justification. Romans 4:25, the resurrection of Christ reveals the new life of a believer. Christ is alive so that the words of Scripture in 1 John 4:17 can be fulfilled. As he is, so also are we in this world. The resurrection of Jesus Christ ensures our resurrection life.
Because he lives, we shall also live.
The message of Scripture has always been a message of resurrection hope, a message that death is not the end, as is illustrated in a grain of wheat. We shared this parable a few weeks ago. Grain cannot bear fruit unless it is first planted in the ground, seemingly dies, germinates, and grows out of the ground to bear fruit. Jesus used this example to teach that his ministry of reconciliation between God and man could only come as a result of his own atoning death and resurrection. If he were to stop short of death on the cross, no fruit could come forth out of his ministry. It is only through his death, burial, and resurrection that there would be come forth the fruit of a great harvest of sinners justified and reconciled to God. Paul is trying to guide them, to make them see that eternity with the Lord is a future gift that each of them can anticipate in life, yet not experienced in life until after life. The future hope is a tremendous motivation for holy living, sharing one's faith in life eternal, a resurrection hope. This is just the beginning. Jesus' life and death opens a view to a whole new reality. The promise of new life, new bodies, new heaven, and new earth. It gives us a new way of seeing every aspect of daily life with hope and purpose. 2 Corinthians, he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. The late theologian Emil Brunner once said, what oxygen is for the lungs, such is hope for the meaning of human life. As the human organism is dependent on the supply of oxygen, so humanity is dependent upon the supply of hope. It seems that we live daily in a world of hopelessness and despair. It seems to always be around us. The Apostle Peter was gripped by despair during an episode of Calvary. He wrote, blessed be God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Billy Graham writes, there is hope that mistakes and sins can be forgiven. There is hope that we can have joy and peace, assurance, and security in the midst of the despair of this age. There is hope that Christ is coming. This is what is called in Scripture the blessed hope. There is hope that there will someday a new heaven and a new earth, and that the kingdom of God be in triumph. Our hope is not in our own ability or in our goodness or our physical strength. Our hope is instilled in us by the resurrection of Christ. One of my favorite songs is when the saints go marching in. And when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I like it played and sung bold with a little Louis Armstrong thrown in. Brenda, can you make your bassoon sound like a Selmer trumpet or a clarinet? I think we'll work on that for next time. I think that's a bassoon saying no. Well, I don't know about you, but I sure want to be in that number. And I'm pretty sure most of you want to be included too. For the great multitude of saints who go marching into God's eternal kingdom of glory, that's the only place that anyone in their right mind would ever want to be when that day comes. But that will happen only if we are numbered with those saints. And that means for us to be, to borrow a line from another song, signed, sealed, and delivered. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. In the early years of the Christian church, it's customary for Christians' congregations to gather along the graveside of the departed brothers and sisters on the anniversary of their death, commemorate the person who had died in faith and who is now with the Lord. Over the centuries, this practice has been transferred to just one day toward the end of the church year, when the church would remember all of the faithful departed of the congregation who had died over the previous year. This is what is doing in congregations, thousands of them all over the world today. We pause today to remember Robert Morton, Jane Wooden, and Herb LaPlante. Professor Mark Wigner suggested in his commentary that the celebration of All Saints Sunday embraces three different emphases. First, he said, is a day to commemorate the ancient and the famous saints who lived their faith in good works and still serve as an inspiration to us, to Christian people of every age. And second, it's a day to remember the close family members and friends who have died, especially the members of the congregation who entered church triumphantly this past year. And finally, Wagner suggests All Saints Sunday can celebrate the fact that all Christian people are truly saints, that the church is the people of God who have been made righteous and holy for Christ's sake. Of course, I don't believe that Wagner is suggesting that the present-day Christians are sinners, but rather that we have, as a result of baptism and nurture in the Christian faith, been called to be disciples of Christ and witness to the redeeming grace of God active in our lives. On All Saints Day, I like to remember there are many who have touched me in this church, but I'll share a few. A couple of people which I have grown up with. Marion Levine, who took any project that she did alone or helping as though it was for Jesus himself. I mean, she would wax the pews, and I mean wax the pews. You didn't know it. You'd come in here and sit on it, and next thing you go, boom, you'd be into the corner, smashed into the wall. And Lillian Buklovich, who would stop and talk and give me a hug every single week. I think I still have clothes that smell like white linen perfume. Donnie Friedland. He loved the church. He loved the church. He loved to talk about the old days. He loved to talk about the church men who meant so much to him in his life growing up. He kept them alive, and he kept their hard work that they had done. If he didn't mention the cross four times a year and the work that the men in Haldens did in putting it there every year. Today's the Sunday when the words of our communal creed are particularly instructive and meaningful. We believe in the communion of saints, a fellowship between Christians living and dead. We give thanks to God for those saints who made a difference in our lives and have gone ahead of us to their eternal reward. We take great delight in the presence of one another here today and appreciate the many blessings that we receive from one another as Christ's family known as the Covenant Church of Thomaston. And we look with faith and hope into the future when we're united with all of the saints in heaven, and our joy shall be complete as we join in the unending hymn of praise to our one triune holy God. The Reverend William H. Woolman wrote that a friend had accompanied a father and his young son on a tour of a magnificent chapel. They walked up and down the aisles and taking in the beauty of the stained glass windows. And the father asked his son, "Do you know who the saints are?" The boy answered, "Sure, the saints are the people where the sun shines through. S-U-N shines through." And Reverend Woolman concluded that that's not a bad definition of a saint. A saint is a person whom the sun, S-O-N, shines through. One of the famous statements from Luther, which has a special meaning as we celebrate this day, is that at the same time, both sinners and saints, Luther realized that being faithful disciples of Christ is always the goal, but it's never the reality, as long as we live in this world. Today we learn once again that we need to not dread and not fear death. Ultimately, thanks to God and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, death is defeated. Years ago, Reverend Woolman says that he remembers his pastoral attempt to comfort a woman whose father had recently died. Woman heard her say, "Well, the way I look at it from now on, I got somebody up there cheering me on." Such a faith attests to the reality of our creedal confession that believe in the communion of saints. One thing I like about the When the Saints Go Marching On is that there is no word of hope in that song. We move with a glorious expectation in our hope in Christ's resurrection when our hope is replaced with a wanton expectation. We know where we're going. I know where I'm going. When the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. When the sun begins to shine, I want to be in that number. When the bassoon sounds its call, I want to be in that number. When the new world is revealed, I want to be in that number. When the drum begins to bang and the stars fall from the sky, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. How about you? Amen. Would you please bow in prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Easter Sunday confirms that Christ has accepted the price paid for our sins. It is finished, and all we need to do for your forgiveness is to believe in what Christ has done for us. For all the saints redeemed by death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. For all those who have cared for us, nurtured us, shared their faith with us, gave us an example of discipleship to follow, we give you thanks. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, which inspires us to follow their example by passing on the mantle of faith onto others, trusting in the timeless dimension of your redeeming grace and the hope of life eternal in your heavenly kingdom, we give you thanks. Let us celebrate All Saints Sunday and with joy in the risen life by constantly worshiping our risen Lord. Our Lord has truly risen. Alleluia. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Blessed this day to be able to give back and to share with joy and memories before us.
We're going to do the goodness of God because we were going to do it in the beginning, but we thought this would be a good spot to do it. Join us because the words are at the bulletin.
Yeah.
now. God, we give you praise and thanks. Praise for this glorious day. Praise for the memory of those who stood here before us. Praise who sat in the aisles next to us and gave us joy each and every week. Father God, we thank you and praise you that we're able to give back to you. It's in your name that we gather, in your name we pray. Amen. Said, oh, we're singing that song again. And I said, I can't think of a better song to be singing today, and I'll be singing it the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Let us greet those around us today as we leave and join us downstairs. Let us rejoice in this day with fond memories of those that we hold so dear to us. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Go in strength to be the saints of God, for you will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike you, nor any scorching heat. Live the way of God with confidence, for God is our shepherd, and he will guide us in the spring of life. Go in his peace. Amen.